The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, with you on this 25th day of February 2019. And a little sneak peek, tomorrow's guest, I've got Harley Schlanger on for 90 minutes. Always love talking to this guy. Knows what he's doing, knows what he's talking about, and doesn't go, never gets tripped up. It's just a continual flow of information, so he'll be with us tomorrow. And Steve Elkins is a little late arriving today. Ongoing dementia. So their eyeball story was really false. It's onset dementia. I'm just teasing. Well, okay. I was going to play this during the body of the show. This is perfect. Remember me saying, folks, remember me saying that whatever happens in England, about 10 years later, it happens here in this country. Or maybe not even 10 years. The eventual outcome of the hate crimes is thought control. It's the thought police. Here's a young lady, Sarah Corriher, I think her name is, and Britain's censorship becomes terrorism. Now, over the, I think she said the last year, I'll play the video, but over the last year, 4,000 people have been arrested for comments they've made online. A new law in England is set to imprison people for a maximum of 15 years for reading the wrong web pages or watching the wrong videos. Although citizens are not to be informed of which media is legally acceptable until after the arrest have been made. Nice. Because the determination of acceptability is to be made by law enforcement personnel at will. Now, these are the people that they generally go after, the lower IQs, because they're better, they're more obedient foot soldiers. In their ongoing drive toward tyranny, British elitists have expanded beyond hate speech laws and into prosecuting people for thought crimes. Americans should consider this as a dire warning about what is coming. Here is Sarah and her take on what's going on in England. And she titled this, The Ashamed Millennial.
The English government is becoming even more tyrannical. If you're an American, pay attention, because this is coming here. Whatever happens in England, politically speaking, eventually arrives in the United States, usually about 10 years later, but sometimes even faster. We all probably know at this point about how the police, the British police, have been arresting and imprisoning people for what they say online, with Facebook posts, Twitter posts. They're all classed as hate speech, right? That ridiculous stuff. Well, now that's not enough for the British government. No, now they passed a law called the Counterterrorism and Border Security Act 2019. And this is essentially criminalizing thoughts, thought crimes. It's criminalizing what you look at online, what you read, and what you watch. Really. And it's all under the guise of preventing terrorism. It kind of reminds me of the Patriot Act in the United States and how it was supposed to stop terrorism. But what did it actually do? It increased the warrantless spying on American citizens and made it harder for Americans to travel. It didn't actually do anything about terrorism, but that made it easier to sell to the American people. Similarly, this law in England is being sold under the pretext of this is what we need to stop terrorism. And of course, if they actually wanted to stop terrorism, then what they would do is stop bringing in immigrants and refugees from parts of the world where terrorism is rife. And you know where I mean. Right? But they won't do that. Instead, they're creating this dystopian environment where everyone is afraid. Afraid to speak, afraid to communicate. I mean, the thing is, a totalitarian regime, it doesn't happen overnight. It happens in the span of decades. You know, first people are disarmed, and then they're not allowed to defend themselves, even with bats and knives. They can't defend themselves at all. That's not allowed. And then they lose the right to freedom of speech. And then, finally, they lose the right to choose what they want to read. Most disturbingly, in this particular new law, it includes a provision prohibiting obtaining information, quote, likely to be useful to a person committing or preparing an act of terrorism, unquote. Well, okay, you're obtaining information likely to be useful to a person committing an act of terrorism. Well, that includes a lot of stuff. Like, for example, if you were gardening and you needed an axe or a machete, and you wanted to research which was the best one. You see how that could be useful to someone who was committing an act of terrorism? And by the way, that's not a stretch. Terrorist acts in England have involved machetes, for example. You know, there have been multiple terrorist attacks involving knives and blades and so on. So what this would do is give the British government, or what it will do, it's actually passed, is give the British government the ability to look at anybody's history and find things like axe shopping that they can use against citizens. And the maximum penalty, if you're found guilty under this law, is 15 years of imprisonment. 15 years.
Do I get internet while I'm in jail?
And there are multiple cases, legitimate cases, in which you'll be looking at stuff, like I said, that would be covered under this. What if you're writing a novel? What if, you know, you are a journalist or just a blogger or somebody who wants to research what's going on in the world? Of course you'll stumble across this. And in the draft version of the law, there was a three-strike system. If you've looked at something three different times that were all, you know, infringing, I guess you could say, they're all illegal by this new law, then you could be sentenced and imprisoned. But that was just too lenient, according to these British politicians. They got rid of the three-strike system, and now it's just once. Once. How do you know if you're about to stumble across something that's potentially terroristic until you've actually clicked? Let me give you an example.
Very good trade. You know, it's like trading something worthless for the most precious diamond in the world.
He eagerly pledged allegiance to the Islamic State, seeking to play a role in reviving the Khilafah, until he witnessed the battle for the military airport of Minnith.
You didn't know that was coming, but if you're watching this in England, you're now a thought criminal. You see what I'm saying and how ridiculous this is? And the thing is, conspiracy to commit murder or terrorist acts, that's already illegal. It's illegal in England, it's illegal in the United States. Heck, it's illegal in every civilized country in the Western world. So the justifications for this, the anti-terrorism justifications, are completely bogus. Because conspiring to commit a terrorist act is already illegal. All this does is provide a way for the police to go after anybody that they want. It's kind of like the US tax code. I've criticized this before, but the US tax code is so convoluted and so large that it's impossible for any person to follow all of the different regulations. Like, even if you go out to a special tax person to do your taxes for you, a special accountant trained in taxes, it's still possible for the government to find something that they don't like. That's what happened in the Al Capone case, rather famously. That's why the US tax system needs to be reformed, in my opinion. But this English law is the same way, in that if the police want something to use to destroy your life, to imprison you, they can use this law and say, you looked at something, and that machete that you were hunting, you were hunting it for some nefarious purpose. because we said so, and you looked at it once. That's where you're heading. And this bill, it itself is terroristic. It's designed to terrorize people, to make them afraid to research, to make them afraid to seek answers. And they're already afraid to speak. They're already afraid to express their opinions. It's a authoritarian nightmare. What's interesting is that this is happening in England, which most people think of as, you know, a very civilized country, but one of the most civilized in the world. Well, you have a situation there, right, where the government is eroding the rights of the citizens. And gun control advocates in the United States always say that it's ridiculous that those with guns often say that guns are there to allow citizens to defend themselves against a tyrannical government. Right? Gun control advocates say that is just ridiculous and stupid. Even though the 20th century is full of instances of governments oppressing their people and killing them. But here we are looking at England as it slips into a tyrannical environment. And it's like, if it can happen to England, to one of the most civilized countries in the world, it can happen anywhere. So, especially if you're an American and you still have the, you know, gun rights and the right to speak and the right to research online, these things that we take for granted, defend them with all your might, because it is a very slippery slope that we're...
There's only a couple of minutes left here, and she wraps it up very shortly, but yeah. First, they got to get the guns, and then they can do anything they want to you. Isn't that right, Steve Elkins?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Am I coming in?
You're here.
There you go. Something wrong with my mic. Okay, here you go. Yeah, I heard it. Yes, that's right. You're right.
I just don't understand why people don't get that this is a worldwide project. I mean, all you have to look is at the various countries that are doing exactly the same thing to its own people. Yep. And this is to eliminate, first to intimidate, and then to eliminate opposition to the grand plan of their socialistic, communistic, new world order. What I find fascinating about this is, you remember the movie with Richard Burton, the last film that he made, 1984?
Yes, I do.
Okay. That was 1984. Let me see, 94, 2004, that's 35 years later. You know, they didn't have it softened up enough. They didn't have enough preparatory work out there. But now we're seeing the socialists and the communists showing up inside of our country and our own political parties. And people don't get this. The New World Order, what is it? Okay. You got to have a form of taxation. You got to have a form of oppression, and that comes by way of governments. And once they're united on this front, ta-da, you're not going anywhere. There isn't any place on the face of this planet you're going to be able to escape to if you're a big enough thorn in the globalist side. There is absolutely no reason. Steve, for years they've called me a tin hat foil wearing conspiracy theorist. I've been, oh, he's just crazy. No, everything that I've ever talked about, it has all come true. And I don't take the information from somebody cooking up a theory someplace. I do the research, or where the research indicates that I should go and look up the grand plans for their grand worldwide conspiracy. I mean, none dare call it conspiracy, because if you do, guess what happens? You get your head handed to you.
Yeah, you're a nut job.
Yeah, yep. You're a nut job.
Well, you know, I think you've mentioned before, the actual term conspiracy theorist was actually a term that was created by the CIA.
That's right.
Yep. And by the way, I have on my wall here in my little studio, I have a tinfoil hat conspiracy realist, an actual tinfoil hat on my wall here.
Wasn't it, I just saw this poster, style poster today of William Casey. When he's the head of the CIA, and he said there's a program in place to destroy the faith of everybody in all the news. People are not going to know what's real and what's not. Here's the CIA guy telling you this.
Right.
You know, it's rather amazing.
It is. It is at that.
What you got?
You know, I have to give you an attaboy. Congratulations on the parody, the Gillette parody. That was pretty funny stuff.
Should I play it?
You actually should. That was very, very funny. I love how he's going to, well, I don't want to blow it because it's funny stuff. You should share it.
Well, there's a couple of words. I will. There's a couple of words in there. It's not, mm-hmm. They're not F-bombs, but some people have said that, John, when you swear on your program, and I'm never giving up asshat. I refuse, because that is the perfect description of somebody that, wears their backside for a hat.
There you go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Let me dig this thing up here. By the way, I want to get into this Venezuela thing.
Yes, let's do.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Paul Craig Roberts did a great job today on that one.
Yeah, but we have intelligentsia in Venezuela and also Colombia that have been moving around in the various circles telling you exactly what they're doing and how they're doing it. Pompeo, and Mark Rubio. Mark Rubio, he wants to do to this Maduro guy what Hillary Clinton and the gang did to the guy over there in Libya.
Libya. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep. All right, here.
And then brag about it.
And then brag about it. And
then brag about it, yep.
Now, this is a commercial that, obviously, this is a parody. But is it really? And it centers on our, what did you call that guy out of Chicago, Steve?
What'd I call him?
You didn't call him Smollett. What did you call him?
Oh, I can't say it on air. No. No Freudian slip here.
Here. He was hoping. He was hoping that I would. See, this is what Steve did.
Okay, I'll give you a hint. Small and an appendage that a man has. How about that? Instead of saying small this, I'd say small appendage. You know?
Yeah.
There you go.
And Steve, now, Steve kind of underestimates me a little bit sometimes. He calls me the claw when he knows I don't have anything else to hurl at me here. But he figured that he could root this in my mind, that I would screw up and I would use, I would basically have a Freudian slip meltdown on air. Did it work?
No, it didn't work. Didn't work.
All right, here we go.
By the time you get to about 9 p.m. tonight, it's already down to minus 24. We're at minus 33, Aurora, 39 below McHenry, 38 below around DeKalb.
Now, this was the weather during Smollett's thing. That's the reason why this is here.
In the early morning
it was cold in Chicago. And here's Mr. Smollett himself.
When we at Gillette designed our new razors, we had only the ultimate beta male in mind. A man who could effortlessly fend off common sense as well as throw all caution to the wind and all rationality out the window. A man with feelings of hatred that run so deep for his fellow man that he would dare weave a tale so bizarre, so unbelievable. Even the Communist News Network would call him out on his bullshit. A man with piles of money and D-list notoriety who didn't mind braving inclement, life-threatening, sub-zero skin-destroying weather to satisfy his longing for a subpar sandwich that would succumb to freezer burn 50 feet from the restaurant door. A man who could stand upon the frozen streets of Chirac and fend off racist, homophobic attackers with a cell phone in one hand and a frozen sub in the other, while remaining keenly unaware that a noose had been slipped around his exposed neck and Clorox poured on his face while somehow managing to maintain its liquidity and subarctic temperatures. A man who would leave said rope around his neck for over 40 minutes until police arrived, after which he would request that they turn off their body cameras and respect his privacy while he wiped away the last crumbs of said footlong off his beard. A man who is so bent on cultivating a climate of racial tension and hatred that he'd do anything to demonize the white race in a headlong effort to instigate a full-fledged race war. A man who could easily influence and court the favor of political morons like Alexandria Ocasio. World's gonna end in 12 years, Chavez Cortez.
The world is gonna end in 12 years if we don't address climate change.
Who, without examination of the facts, definitively declared this to absolutely be a racist and homophobic attack. A man who, with his purchase of a single footlong, managed to secure free footlongs for life when he's placed in general population. A man who now has to hire professional high-powered liars, lawyers, to protect his ass from criminal prosecution. For those men, we unveil Gillette Adieu Smollett, the best a storytelling, hypocritical, race-baiting beta male can get. Gillette is the proud sponsor of what could have been the new LA riots if it hadn't been for alternative media foiling our plans for world domination by overthrowing America by fomenting a race war based on the 100% fabricated story of future former Empire star Jussie Smollett. When you have less than two brain cells to rub together and no balls to say what needs to be said in a world that's hell-bent on consuming fake news and the psychotic and hollow words of political psychopaths, Gillette really is the best an Orwellian-controlled, zombie-like horde of leftist wingnuts can get.
Gotta love it.
Yeah, I do. Gotta, I like that, especially love the part, the free footlongs for life while I'm in prison. I love that one.
You know, it was kind of fascinating. You know, Chicago police have they've said that, oh, they're racist and they hate black people. I think half the cops on the Chicago Police Department is black anyhow. But, you know, they're a bunch of racist goons and this, that, and the other. And, you know, what we were hearing in the news prior to his actually being charged was that the police was requesting an interview. Now, Steve, when was the last time that a suspect in a criminal act, when was the last time that you heard the police were requesting to talk to you? You know, we're in an age now, thanks Mr. Gates, from all the drug stuff and L.A. years ago, the dynamic raids, the SWAT teams, everything dying at these baboons, these Kevlar matted baboons busting in houses and killing people and getting the wrong addresses and getting wrong tips and bad information. Doesn't matter. It's the police. We're here to help. Yeah. Well, I don't know. The requesting an interview of this guy? Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what I found quite hilarious was sub-zero temperatures, minus, 20 or 25, that Chicago is pretty much liberal, all Democrats and liberal snowflakes, and for some reason you have a couple Trump supporters, Republicans, that are in sub-zero temperature in Chicago looking for a black guy. Yeah.
Well, I cannot read the supposed letter that was sent because I'd have to redact it so heavily that it would end up sounding like a broken transmission. But it was pretty raw.
Yeah.
Now, this guy's got to understand, and the fakers out there, how many different instances, and these are people that were in the area that would pick up a cell phone, go make a recording, or surreptitiously interview people and record them and find out the real truths about what's going on under these supposed hate crimes. You know, isn't it strange? I'm here in Round Rock, Texas. You know, this isn't inner city Detroit or Philadelphia. I get that. But down here, blacks that move around in society are just as polite as the white people are to them. There's no friction. There's no race baiting. There is no looking at somebody here in Texas going, oh, your skin's other than white, we ought to hang you. There's none of that that's going on. So what do they got to do, Steve? They've got to manufacture it.
Yep.
And that's what this whole... He should have got some help from some script writers or at least a team of stuntmen that could have helped him with his scam. I mean, you know, you made the point about the bleach.
Yeah.
How do you pour frozen bleach on somebody? It was cold in Chi-Town that day.
Yep.
You know, and he walked around with a I guess he didn't notice he had a noose around his neck, and he walked around with it on for 4 hours. You know, he was in character.
40 minutes.
Yeah.
Jeez. No, it was you know, they better file charges, John. False police report and trying to instigate a hate crime. Trying to point finger at somebody else for blame. And if nothing is done about this, well, I don't know what else to say. I guess we have no rule of law. I mean, it's definitely a double standard here.
Well, and that okay. All right. And I'm sorry, I was reading a message on my caller screen here. Why is she holding, Mike? I can get a number and call her after the show, because this conversation, I'm sure, is going to take longer than 3 minutes. All right. So tell Amy, get the number, and I'll call her after the show. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. Well, don't leave her hanging. Tell her now. Well, okay. Just saying. I've been trying to fill the 9 to 11 spot on the network Monday through Friday, and I thought I had a guy, Steve, lined up to do that. Mm-hmm. And I wondered why he was dragging his heels. The offer was made a couple of weeks ago, and he had to clear the time slot out at 9 p.m. And then I find out yesterday, well, okay, I can get off at 9. Your program starts at 9. It's not when you get off work. Well, I had the opportunity to talk to the young man. Nice man. Mm-hmm. But he's a little lacking on history of the United States. And when I queried a little bit further, I found out he was for open borders. Okay. And I said to him, I said, do you know what's going to happen? You come on this network with that? I said, this audience will slice and dice you. Because this is the best educated audience in radio history. And I'm not saying that because it's my network. I'm saying it's because it's true. Yep. And it's been demonstrated many, many times. But, you know, I just told him, I said, look, I can get you on a progressive network like I did Steve Lenman. He's a happy little camper over there, man. Because yes, he's got some people around him that are like-minded. Now, Steve Lenman, did he do a lot of good things? Yeah, he did. But there's stuff in the core beliefs, not so good. But it was amicable, and I put him over there, and he's happy as a pig with truffles. And that's great. But he said, well, I can fend off people. I can defend myself. I said, it's not you I'm worried about.
So how could he defend open borders,
And I explained to him. I said, you don't understand. I said, this is the utopian dream of the globalist. This is what smashes cultures. This is what undercuts and blows apart societal glue. We used to have a little bit of that in this country, but the race baiters kept at it. But I told him, I said, you don't understand this. I said, the direct link and handshake to borders is sovereignty. I said, you know what sovereignty means? The ability for a country to make their own law and then enforce their own laws. This doesn't have anything to do with an international court or somebody's opinion of some bureaucrat in some faraway country that you never heard of or couldn't even spell. I said, sovereignty equals self-determination. And I said, the exercise you're seeing right now going on all around the world, the balkanization of cultures. The Germans have had enough. The French have certainly had enough. Over in England, they've had enough. In the Netherlands, they've had enough. Time and time and time again, and I told him, I said, do you ever listen to my show? And he goes, no. And he says, I said, you'll be at work when it airs. I said, that's why we have this magical thing called archives. I said, you need to listen to my show or anybody's show on this network. Doesn't matter. Yeah. I said, but you need to bone up on what has really transpired. This isn't the ability just to sit behind a microphone and talk. This is about getting on the air and imparting real and correct information to dispel all the stuff that you see around you. And for that, that takes a foundation. You can build the most beautiful house, but if you got a lousy foundation, guess what? That beautiful house ain't going to remain beautiful for long. It crumbles. So go get a foundation. He said, we'll talk later. I said, I bet we will. Let's take the break. We'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat, very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
If you be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty, Betty when you call me. Man walks down the street, says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and all my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model? Now that my role model...
Alrighty, we're back. sorry, we were having a conversation spilled over the break here. At any rate.
Did you catch what I just said?
No, I did not.
I said, why doesn't Al Whitney use this for bumper music?
What was it? I wasn't paying any attention.
You can call me Al.
Oh, I think I played that when I had her on the program. That's where
did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's good.
You're inventive. But it doesn't count if somebody else invents it first.
Okay.
That just makes you a plagiarist.
Yep. Yes, so.
So how are you doing down there?
Good. Actually, today was a beautiful day. The weather is back to normal, 70s. We were 80s, high 80s for the last couple of days.
Can you hear that cracking sound? That's the sound of back molars and the jaws of the Michiganders.
I thought you were going to say it was that one finger that's still curled.
Oh, okay, Mr. Maluk, with your quarter-inch eyebrows higher than the other now.
No, it's back. It's back.
What do you mean it's back?
It's back to normal.
No, it doesn't count. It doesn't count raising your other eyebrow to match your raised eyebrow. No, it doesn't count.
It lowered.
Yeah, okay. Send me a picture. I want to see this for myself.
So So what's up next?
Well, do you know of any U.S. psychopathic senators?
I know a couple dead ones, but
No. This is our own little big-eared bubble party boy in Florida against Mr. Trump. By the way, before I get into that, have you noticed something? Now, I know the elections aren't until November of next year. Okay, I get that. But have you noticed no Republican has thrown his hat in a ring?
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah.
Now, some polls that I'm seeing right now, and you know, polls are like, you know, sometimes belly buttons. Everybody's got one. Everybody's got an opinion. But some polls are putting Donald Trump at 90%. Now, I've never heard of a president getting 90%, but I think he is the other Republicans are maybe not publicly afraid of Donald Trump, but who the heck wants to get on a debate stage with this guy?
Yeah,
I mean, he handled 18 at once. And there's not going to be a bigger field this year as there was the last presidential election. Mm-hmm. But who's going to run against Trump?
That's a good question. Who would you pick? If you had to pick some person, one Republican, who would you pick? Who would you think might have a chance?
Well,
a chance?
Okay, how about a guy that no longer has a job? How about Mr. Ryan, used to be the speaker? No, there's honest to God.
How about Newt Gingrich?
Oh, God.
No, I'm just saying.
Oh, come on.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Newt Gingrich. You know, if I had to pick anybody, and I'm not really 100%, that would be, I guess, Rand Paul.
I wish.
He doesn't have that, what Americans think that is required of a president wannabe, a personality that stayed presidential stature. And Trump's got none of that stuff. The only thing he had was, here's some of the facts, here's some of the things I see wrong, and if you want to dispute it, go ahead. Make my day.
You know who I would not want to debate is Ron Paul. Sharp guy.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see him, but I think somebody got to him, and he's not going to. So,
well, no, Ron's and I don't know if people believe me or not, but this actually happened. The reason why Ron Paul did not want the presidency, he and his wife both agreed that if he got the presidency, he wouldn't last too long. They would kill him. They both said the same thing to me. She said they would kill him, and he said they will kill me. So, simultaneously. And, I don't know. Wonder what would happen if Donald Trump doesn't pick Mike Pence. You know, Reagan had a little switch up. He was told he had to bring in, the senior Bush as vice president next time around. And which he did. He didn't want to, but he did. But next time around, I don't know who this guy is as vice president right now. You know, they say the windows are the eyes are the windows of the soul. His blinds are down, man.
Yeah.
Every time I look in that guy's eyes, I don't know what I see, but I get this distinct impression. I don't like it. Now, he's been the consummate, yes, I am a Christian, very reserved, doesn't say a whole lot. Okay, which is to his credit for being a vice president, because you don't want to compete with Donald Trump. But I look at this guy, and I go, wait a minute. Now, if Ron, you know, when he told me he didn't really want the presidency because they would kill him, that was, that had to have been about 14, 15 years ago. Now, how old is Ron Paul now? 70, 75? 70
something.
Yeah, 70, 75? You know, a couple of interesting things happen when you get older. One of the things, you're not afraid of what the boogeyman the way you used to be. And you've lived a life, a pretty full one, you know, by any standard, looking at Ron Paul's life. And I think you get to a point in your older age that you look at it and go, what the hell? Let's just go for it. What am I going to do? Shoot me? I've already lived a full life. And here's my chance to do something for a country that has supported me. Well, at least the people did. Not the fellow politicians in Washington, D.C. because he was too busy trying to bust up the Gambinos and the Genoveses. But I hope, and I'm hoping, on the issue of banking, because Ron Paul sat on the banking committee when he was Congress critter, I hope that Donald Trump picks Ron Paul as vice president. Because he's already got the notoriety already. People, after his second run for president, he became a rock star on the college campuses. We see what Donald Trump has done, and popularly just running around announcing, I'll be here, and 30,000 people show up. So the base support is there. Now let's put these two together and see what they can really accomplish.
I think that would be a great idea.
Now,
is there word, is there talk of Mike Pence not being picked a second time around? Is there talk?
No.
That's just my wishful thinking.
I didn't make it up. Okay. I don't you put words in my mouth.
All right.
No.
Well, because we know Kennedy wasn't going to go with Lyndon Johnson again a second time. Which leads to the speculation he had something behind the assassination.
What do you think? Let me see. I want to spread the CIA to the four winds, pissed off the military-industrial complex by saying, no, we're not going to go into Vietnam. Why do we want to fight a war 7,000 miles away when we got Fidel Castro 90 miles to the south of us? And then, of course, during his administration, we saw the Bay of Pigs incident that the CIA left him out to dry. Mm-hmm. So who were the two big losers if Kennedy would have lived? That's right. CIA joy boys would have been out of a job. Oh, and maybe the bankers would have been put out to pasture.
Yep.
Could you imagine the international bankster gangsters and their members working inside this country done away with a half a century ago? Whoa. That would have been a really, really good choice.
Yeah, actually, I like this idea of Ron Paul whispering in Donald Trump's ear.
Oh,
I like that.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Nice. Those two walk out on stage, for all the support that Ron Paul had and all the support that Donald Trump has now, you might as well just call off the election. Word has it, you want to talk about rumor? Now, this is unsubstantiated, folks, but there are people that worked with Hillary Clinton in the past that swears she's going to announce her run for 2020. This I got to see. Miss Poopy Pants. I can't stand up. Or I go into these weird gyrations. Or if I'm looking halfway normal, I can lie with impunity. I can sit there and look you directly in your eye and just lie.
Yeah. You think we can get James Kelso to kind of put that in Donald Trump's ear, picking Ron Paul for VP?
I don't know. Does
I'll email him right now. I'm going to email James and say, James, can you see if you can get a hold of him? And this is a great idea. I like it. I'll give you full credit for it, by the way.
I don't want credit for anything.
The only thing
that I want is everybody to keep their hands off my itty-bitty. My itty-bitty freedom, my itty-bitty little pile of money that is non-existent. I just want to hold on to my itty-bitty. Influential U.S. Senator and 2016 presidential candidate, Marco Rubio. He's tweeted a blatant death threat, incitement of violence against Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. As of this writing, the post has 13,000 shares and counting. Now, the tweets consist of a before and after photo of former Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi, who in 2011 was mutilated to death in the streets following a U.S.-led NATO intervention in Libya, which was launched on false humanitarian pretext. Whoops. Whistle alert here. Red flag. The first photo depicts Gaddafi alive and confident with a smile on his face. The second depicts him covered in blood following his capture by a militia group minutes before his death. Now, Senator Rubio has been called Capitol Hill's single most virulent advocate of U.S. interventionism in Venezuela and has been tweeting about it constantly. Since Washington's bogus humanitarian aid delivery sparked violence on the borders, and I'll get into that in a minute, these are actually Colombians milling around and sparking the violence. Any of this sound familiar to you folks? On the borders of Colombia and Brazil, as it was intended to, Rubio has cranked his interventionist cheerleading up to 11 on a scale to 10. The fact that Maduro would not allow a government that is openly staging a coup in Venezuela to hand a large unchecked delivery over to the opposition factions within that very nation has been used to sell a narrative that Venezuela's evil dictator is deliberately cutting off aid to a needy populace, which of course was planned. This narrative has been helped along by highly suspicious photo-friendly fires and has been injected into mainstream consciousness with hysterical urgency by the likes of Rubio, Bill and Hillary Clinton, Dianne Feinstein, Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris. I'm sorry, she wants to be called Kamala now. I'm sorry, Kamala Harris. And the entire Trump administration. And by the way, folks, it's completely false. Now, first, Maduro is not refusing humanitarian aid for his people. Only an idiot would believe that the latest official bad guy, who coincidentally happens to be sitting on top of the largest oil reserves on Earth, is intentionally starving and depriving his people, and anyone who makes such claims should have to explain how they make that work in their minds. What's the idea behind that exactly? Is he starving them all and cutting them all off for medical supplies because he hates them? Is he trying to kill everyone in Venezuela so he can have the entire country to himself? Does he have some strange sexual fetish for a slow starvation of an entire citizenry? How specifically does any of this work? In reality, Maduro has been accepting aid from everywhere except from the government that is openly staging a coup in his country and gross violation of its national sovereignty. Just last week, Caracas accepted 933 tons of food and medical supplies from China, Cuba, India, and Turkey, and Russia has shipped in 300 tons of its own. Now, this is this paltry $20 million in food, which, by the way, I have a clip on the website. Mike, did you post that clip of the guy that was actually down in, is that Caracas, Venezuela? I forget the city. I want to be accurate on this. He was down there at a food mart. Now, the food in Venezuela is government subsidized, but CNN was saying, well, these poor people in Venezuela don't even have toothpaste or toothbrushes. This guy went to one of the markets, and lo and behold, what was on the table? Stacks and stacks and stacks of toothpaste. And this wasn't a prearranged photo op, folks. This was an open-air market. Most major cities in the U.S. have them. And they were selling meats, fruits, and vegetables below market price, because I said Venezuela kind of subsidizes that. But there isn't masses of starving people running around Venezuela. They got food down there. They got toothpaste down there. I mean, this whole thing. I'm sorry? What? I can't say that on air. Come on, Mike. This is live radio. All right. Well, anyhow, thanks for your help. But it's the same damn thing they did in Libya. Oh, the Libyan people, oh, look. Oh, this mad dictator is abusing his own people. Now, I don't know how stupid Mike Pence thinks that we are. You know, I mean, is this the last guy in the room that gets the message? That, you know, hey, say this. Here's your prompting cards. Just read the cards. Doesn't he have any sense of what's gone on in the Middle East?
Nope.
How the people of this country have sniffed this whole damn illegal wars in the Middle East. Well, that's not spoken very often, illegal wars. Why do I say it's illegal? Well, right out of the box. When you wage war on a sovereign country and you do it without the consent of your government, just the guys sitting in the Oval Office and some CIA spook shows him something or weaves him a wonderful tale, and the president hops up from his desk, invade! It's not the way the system is supposed to work. And they're trying the same damn thing in Venezuela. I mean, some of the terminology that I've heard. Now, I don't know, Maduro might be a baby raper for all I know. I don't live in Venezuela. But I recognize the pattern of demonization of this guy. And some of the words that are being used. I mean, it makes the crowd that wanted Kim Jong-un nuked. It makes it look like a practice run, Steve.
Right.
I, yeah.
I'm just making some notes here that I just wanted to mention that I didn't hear much about it, but Mike Pence was pretty much putting beating the war drums against Iran. And you heard about that, wiping Israel off the map again, that whole rhetoric saying that again. And, of course, that was never said. That was never said. The P5 plus one has been changed. It was agreed upon by both sides. But the new addition now is that Iran can't even have ballistic missiles. That's been written in. So, you know, fudging on the contract here, fudging on that, and adding new things as they go along.
Wait a minute. Doesn't Iran have the ability to tell the truth about Israel and their 300 to 400 nuclear weapons?
Sure, but nobody's listening. You and I know it. 400+ nukes. 400+,
All right. Hey, we'll open up the phone lines as well today. This is... it's a strange day. Art, I'll take your call right after the break. I just put on my caller screen, didn't know you were there. 800-313-9443.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
All right, we're back. Art, you're up first. Go ahead.
Hey, John, you know, you're talking about didn't see me there till you were ready. You know, it's your broadcast. You want to keep somebody on hold, that's on you, you know. I know I've heard people talk on before about, I've been on hold for 45 minutes. Well, obviously what you had to say was important enough you held for 45 minutes, so shut up and get on with it, right? That's how I look at it. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry, man. I'm having too much fun today. You know, this whole revelation has just come out about, you know, it's unconstitutional to whatever, you know, but now they can sign women up for the draft and whatever, and apparently there's some people that are upset about this. I look at it like this. You know, you wanted equal rights. You always want to complain and bitch about how you're tired of not being treated equally. Well, you got equal rights. Well, here you go. Sign up for the draft. And you know what? There's people out there want to complain about, we don't want them gosh darn homosexuals and all this stuff in the military. You know what? I say, you know, they're screaming about equal rights under the law. You know what? I say line them suckers up, man.
See, nothing would ever get done because they'd be talking about nail polish and styles of shoes. Okay, I mean, come on.
I guarantee you drop a plane load of them suckers behind the enemy lines. The last thing they're going to be talking about is their 6-inch spikes and the color of their toenails.
Hey,
I'm telling you, man, I am so over all of this crap. I say line them suckers up and let's ship them the hell off.
Well, that's one way of looking at it.
Hey, we'd thin out that population real quick. I know I shouldn't say that, but, you know, Mike, this is how ridiculous things have gotten. It really has gotten to this point. If you'd have told me, John, 10 years ago.
You know, I think Art's been holding longer than he realizes. He just called me Mike.
I'm sorry, John.
Well, he called Mike today, so that's why.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh, that's But I'm serious. I mean, if you'd have told me, remember back when Barack Obama, and this is the, you know, the attention span of the American population is like 10 minutes, okay? So let flashback, folks, to Barack Obama when he said, those men and women over there fighting on my behalf, if you'd have told me 10 years ago, because he was talking about homosexuals in the military. If you'd have told me 10 years ago that we'd be talking about this kind of crazy stupid 10 years later, I'd have called you completely out of your flipping mind. But here we are talking about the very things that I never, ever thought would be part of dinner table conversation.
It's a wonderful life, isn't it? Well, the old Chinese curse is coming true. May you live in interesting times.
Thanks, man. Y'all have a great one.
All right. We got a break coming up in about a minute. Sebastian, Sweden, let me take you here, and I'll carry you over to the top of the hour. Go ahead, Sebastian.
Yes, hello, John. Listen, I was thinking it was a good idea with Ron Paul as vice president, because then Trump wouldn't hardly need any security, if you know what I mean. I think they would, no one would want Ron Paul as president. I would, but... that's how I started listening to your program. I started with Ron Paul, 2006.
Well, but the only problem is, just in case somebody changes their mind, get rid of Trump and then get rid of Ron Paul, guess who'd be up next?
Speaker of the House.
Speaker of the House, lousy Pelosi.
Oh, no, that would be horrible. Yes, okay, well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Bad idea.
Take care.
Thank you, Sebastian.
Okay, bye.
We got listeners all over the world, folks. Some of them are watching the United States through our eyes and our reporting. And some people are saying, man, I'm glad I'm over here. All right, let's take top of the hour break. 800-313-9443 is the call-in number. We had a bunch of people last week that have never called into a talk show host, Steve. One guy, 19 years he's been listening to me, and I just got a call from him last week. Wow.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.